The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is, from what I'm being told, was the offer that was made to the Seattle Seahawks. It is the following. The Bears offered 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 starters. I don't know who the starters are. The source close to the Bears doesn't know who the starters are, but that Seattle was interested, but it comes down to Pete Carroll making the decision.
Wow. Max, that's a lot. You just heard Dan Patrick. Let's assume that's true for a moment and they were willing to give all that up. Do you think Seattle should have taken this deal?
Nope. No, I don't. Let's say it was Khalil Mack and someone else and 3 firsts and 3 thirds. No, because you know what happens as soon as Seattle trades Russell Wilson? They're the Bears, right? They're the team that's looking for a quarterback. You don't have much if you don't have a quarterback in this league, in the NFL. You need that quarterback. And if you have an all-time great in his prime, even if he wants out, you better be sure you're getting foundational pieces for your franchise back, including something that can turn into a quarterback. Here's the problem. The Bears' first-round picks aren't worth much. They're much later in the draft. They just made the playoffs. And if they have Russell Wilson, they'll be worth less because they will do even better. The value of Russell Wilson. Now think about the Khalil Mack trade. I just mentioned Khalil Mack. There were multiple firsts for Khalil Mack. The Bears acquired Khalil Mack. But those were not great draft picks. It wasn't in the top 5 or 10 in that draft. And we're talking about, you know, a great defensive player. Sure, but not a quarterback. On a team-friendly deal? One of the all-time greats on a team-friendly deal? The fact is the Chicago Bears were unprepared for this moment. They don't have enough stuff to get Russell Wilson. And by the way, it's a valiant try. I mean, they're offering whatever they do have. And by the way, if the Bears are already offering that, then what eventually will Seattle get, especially if Russell Wilson expands the teams to which he'd agree to a trade by a couple? What will Seattle eventually get for Russell Wilson? Not low first-round picks, Stephen A., but high-value first-round picks with multiple players, and at least one of the picks or players will be a promise for a quarterback with upside. That wasn't this deal.
Okay. Max, I respectfully disagree with you. I think that when we talk about should Seahawks have taken this deal, I would tell you no. You know what? To me, it's all about, it really comes down to Russell Wilson and what he wants. Now, I know the reason why we part ways in terms of how we did, I agree with you on its premise. If you're just looking at Russell Wilson, we can't do that here. Russell Wilson, Carson can run the football. He's not a scrub. When he's healthy, he can run the football. DK Metcalf is a young stud. Tyler, we know how we feel about DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett is no scrub. I know Greg Olsen retired or what have you. You figure that out at the tight end spot. But when you look at what Russell Wilson has accomplished in his career, the same thing that you can point to as to why they should keep him. My point is, why is he sitting here with a problem with you now? This, to me, seems to be something that has been brewing for quite some time. We all view Pete Carroll as this quote-unquote player's coach. But now we're hearing that may not be the case. Had 2 of his sons coaching under him. The way that he ran his ship, he doesn't necessarily listen, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know that. I don't cover this team. But what I will tell you is that when you got a guy in his 30s that has accomplished as much as he's accomplished, 98-45-1 as the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, a 267-81, 267 touchdowns, just 81 interceptions. That's a better than 3-1 TD to turn, TD to interception ratio. That's incredibly impressive. You look at what Russell Wilson has done. That might be a reason to hold on to him. But if he doesn't want to be there, you have a different problem now. Because when you talk about the importance of the quarterback position, I'm going to repeat this, and I think corporate America should listen to this. I think sports should listen to this. I think these things are incredibly important. When someone doesn't want to be there, you got a problem. You got a problem when they don't want to be there, because nothing good is going to come up that. I challenge anybody to find me someone that said, I don't want to be with you, and they won. Now, I remember when Kobe once did it. But let me tell you what happened. Kobe came on my show first, radio show in New York, 1050, ESPN Radio at the time. Broke the story, said, I'd rather play on the planet Pluto than be here with the Lakers organization. But it was because he felt betrayed because you left him hanging. It wasn't because he wanted to leave L.A. It wasn't because he wanted to leave Newport Beach, the California sunshine, all right? It wasn't even that he mind paying the damn taxes, because you know how I feel about them damn taxes in California. The bottom line is, Kobe didn't care about that stuff in the end.
It's not your taxes.
Here we go. Kobe cared about this. The fact that once Shaq departed and he was there for those 3+ years without Shaq, what you give him to work with? Then they pulled off the heist of the century. They got Pau Gasol for Kwame Brown out of Memphis, okay? And so when that happened, all of a sudden.
Mark Gasol, ultimately.
Yeah. But you know what? But actually, Mark Gasol was on the legs. I think he traded it. Yeah. Traded
and
to Memphis.
Mark, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Pau Gasol came. Yeah. But what I'm saying to you is he didn't have a – he only had a problem with the fact that you left him hanging. It wasn't this other stuff. Seattle hasn't left Russell Wilson hang. You point about how a first-class organization it is in terms of their decision-making. Yeah. So if he's reached a point, I don't want to be here. And you know he didn't make that decision alone. You know Sierra got something to do with that. You got that wife telling you she might be happier elsewhere.
Russ,
you
Dallas,
want to prioritize
Dallas,
that.
Dallas, New
you understand
Orleans,
what I'm saying? You want
Chicago,
to prioritize that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say, Molly go to Jalen, I ain't happy in this location. It would behoove him to think about relocating. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you got the happy wife, happy life. You got to prioritize that. So I think all of that stuff plays a significant role in what's going on with Russell Wilson.
Well,
and that's why you can't dismiss that.
Hold on, we don't disagree.
You can't keep him there, that's what I'm saying.
We
don't want to keep him there.
We are on the same page.
Okay.
In this NFL,
right,
besides the kind of philosophical point you make, right? Like
right.
Generally. In this NFL, if you have a superstar quarterback, they're going to get their way.
That's right.
Like the NBA, a superstar player, right? There's no way to really work that. The leader of the team doesn't want to be, ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they got to keep him.
Right.
I'm saying in any deal they trade Russell Wilson,
okay,
they have to get back the following. A draft pick where they feel they have identified a quarterback that can be their future, but because that's really speculative, you don't know, you're just guessing.
Which means it would be another quarterback that's already in the league.
You need a draft pick or another quarterback who could be on Russell Wilson's level or something like that. There aren't many
something
of that
close.
Guys. That's
right.
Why I'm saying it's more likely to be a pick. Then you need more stuff too, because that's speculative, the pick. You need, so if they said Khalil Mack and something else and a first round pick and they've identified Trey Lance or something like that, they were going to go get him, fine. But three low first round picks and no
that's
quarterback,
that's
can't
true.
Do it.
Now, we both appreciate each other's point because, Molly, I'm quite sure you understand what I'm saying. Now, you have your husband and you got a beautiful wife. I mean, damn it, you got to make her happy. You can't be staying someplace she don't want to be.
I'm loving this. I'm loving this debate.
It
if you
matters.
Guys want to blow through the commercial break, if you just want to keep preaching from the pulpit, I'm just all ears listening. I'm really enjoying
that's
this.
All, that's all I'm saying. That's all
preaching.
I'm saying. You know, Sierra.
I'm with
Sierra.
It. Amen.
Now think about Russell Wilson.
That.
It's Sierra, y'all. It's Sierra.
She's got the goodies.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Rookie of the Year frontrunner LaMelo Ball and the Hornets face off against LeBron James and the Lakers for the first time. That's tonight in L.A. When asked if he was excited to share the court with the King, here's what he had to say. Listen up.
Nah, I mean, I grew up a little different. Not really on basketball like that. So, nah, not really. But I mean, it'd be cool. I go to every game with the same approach, going in to try to get a win, and that's pretty much it.
Just another game, just another player, Stephen A., you know what it is, all business. Should LeBron care about those comments from LaMelo?
A little bit. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you're the king, right? And so there's a level of deference and respect that is earned. You've been to the finals 10 times. You've won 4 championships. You're a 4-time league MVP, clearly aiming for and looking for your 5th. And some young buck that just comes into the league is like playing you just like playing anybody else. You understand? Now, I don't think for 1 second LaMelo meant any disrespect. I mean, we know who Pops is. You understand what I'm saying? And you know what? You know, my man Champ talks about this all the time. Your man, you know, your father's your father. You know, you're a good man. You're a father. He clearly raised his kids right. He's been the subject of a lot of criticism over the last couple of years.
They play the game the right way.
Let me tell you something. They play the game the right way. If you look at how Lonzo, first of all, Lonzo has been playing better, and LaMelo has sparked him. Lonzo's more aggressive. He's shooting more from the field. He's shooting more from 3-point range. He's averaging more than 14 points a game this season. Props to Lonzo and how he's become more assertive. I think that has a lot to do with LaMelo Ball, because he's saying little brother ain't coming into this league, taking the league by storm. And by the way, let me be very, very clear. Michael Jordan has a rookie of the year. It is LaMelo Ball.
Yeah,
LaMelo Ball will win rookie of the year. I know he'll get my vote. I can tell you that much.
Who's even in the running with him?
Exactly. The kid has been absolutely sensational. I love what I'm seeing from the kid, and I love his assertiveness. And I remember talking to somebody in Charlotte the other day, or a few weeks ago, rather, and they said, he really can't shoot, but he don't know that. And he going to shoot it, and damn it, it's going in. So give LaMelo props.
They all got broken shots, but that's they go in.
But they go in. Where LaMelo, where I say LeBron should take this, he should be a little turned off about this. There's a level of deference and respect that you are supposed to be to somebody perceived to be the king, who, by the way, is the king right now. He's the reigning defending NBA champion. And when you are a rookie and you come into the league, I remember when Jerry Stackhouse came into the league and was talking about how he went up against Michael Jordan in the warm-ups and all of this other stuff and held his own, Michael Jordan saw him and dropped 48. You understand what I'm saying? Just like that. You know, just to remind the young fella, excuse me, there's levels to this. Mind your manners, show respect. And I love my man Jerry Stackhouse, but I'm just saying, that to me is what I mean by LeBron. LeBron should treat this
LeBron
like that as well.
I knew you were going to bring up Jordan.
You know what I'm saying?
I knew you were going to bring up Jordan. The fact is, I was going to if you didn't anyway. LeBron ain't MJ. They got different mentalities. Both great champions, everything, different mentalities.
Right.
If it was Michael Jordan, someone said it about Jordan, he would, you know, you cut to like a shot of the game in you know, midway through the second quarter, Stephen A., and he would be eating LaMelo's heart out of his chest while it was still beating, like he was in the Temple of Doom, like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. That's like Jordan's mentality. That's not LeBron. And I don't think LeBron should read into this one at all. First of all, I don't think LeBron needs the motivation. He can tell me I'm wrong. I don't think he needs the motivation. Secondly, I don't think LaMelo's lying. I think LaMelo Ball, when he says he looks up to his dad, you know, his dad taught him the game, I think he's telling the truth. Let's not forget, given LaMelo's age and how long LeBron's been in the league, by the time LaMelo has continuous memory, right? From the time he can remember, LeBron James has been a superstar in the NBA. LeBron is like a dinosaur from a previous age. When I was a kid, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when I was a little kid, was the best player in basketball. But I still didn't feel like he belonged to that era. He belonged to a previous era. He was just still dominating. So I think guys coming up today are more familiar with, you know, a guy coming up today is more familiar with Steph Curry or even more recently, like Donovan Mitchell or something. than LeBron James, Mike, right?
Max, I don't buy that. I don't buy that because LeBron's playing right now.
Yeah, but.
He's retired.
Yes, but.
He's playing right now and he's the reigning defending champion.
Just like Kareem was, but it was almost like it belonged to another time. It was just unstoppable still. But beyond that, I don't get the sense that LaMelo idolizes LeBron like that. He said he idolizes his dad's game, right? And his dad, I believe that. Now, you could say, well, if it was Jordan, damn it, by the end of that game, he'd know Jordan is his daddy, right? That's just not LeBron's mentality. All LeBron's really thinking about is leading his team.
You can
wins.
Say that. Well, first of all, my man T-Mac reminded me of this. We can't forget about that brother Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, who has been.
Oh,
he's nice.
Dwayne Wade
caliber.
I forgot too.
I can't forget Anthony Edwards. We can't forget him. But LaMelo Ball's winning.
I didn't know Edwards.
LaMelo Ball is winning.
Pick, but,
and ever since he's been in the starting lineup, ever since he was inserted in the starting lineup, LaMelo's averaging 20 a game. Yep. But to get back to LeBron, what I'm saying is this. LeBron is balling right now at an MVP caliber level. He's already a four-time champion. He's in the discussion in a lot of people's eyes as the greatest ever. We say Jordan. Obviously, there's some young whippersnappers out there that believe it's LeBron. And this dude, LaMelo Ball, comes out, whatever. Really?
He's worried about himself.
I'm just saying. I'm not knocking him. I'm saying if you're LeBron, I get on the court with you tonight.
Yeah.
LeBron might be dunking on him at least one time.
You don't know who the hell I am? Yeah. Let me remind you.
They don't guard
That's
each.
What you do.
LaMelo ain't guarding LeBron.
I'm just saying. You just put him on notice. Then you watch. You watch your teammates try to guard me. You watch sitting on the bench try to guard me. We're in the same arena. Do you know who I am now? Do you remember who the hell I am now? I happen to be the reigning, defending NBA champion, a league MVP candidate
still.
Not
again, Max.
Mind your
manners. Not just a guy.
I'm not just a guy. I'm not just a guy.
I believe LaMelo.
That's what you, LeBron, that's what you do. That's what you do.
Maybe that's LaMelo's mentality, and that's why he's been so successful.
Slap
the Hornets
him.
Are on pace
you figuratively slap
for
him.
Their first playoff appearance since 2016. Stephen A., don't get violent with your figurative.
I said figuratively.
Right,
I said
guys.
Figuratively.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, gentlemen, our major story today, a third civil lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson accuses the Houston Texans quarterback of sexually assaulting a massage therapist by allegedly forcing her to have oral sex with him in December 2020. This is a third civil case filed against Watson this week. The previous two lawsuits were related to two separate incidents during which he's accused of committing civil assault. Now, Watson responded on Twitter on Tuesday night after the attorney, Tony Busby, announced the filing of the first lawsuit, saying he rejected a baseless six-figure settlement demand and that it's about clearing my name, and I look forward to doing that. Neither Watson nor his attorneys have commented on the latest lawsuit filed. On that note, we bring in my guy, Super Bowl champ Damian Woody. Damian, great to have you with us and get your perspective on this, obviously, as a former player. But Stephen A., I want to start with you. Your reaction to the latest as this story continues to unfold this morning.
I want to give Damian some time to speak about this, so I'll make this quick. I mean, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. And then what I didn't say during the, early segment when we touched on this is that apparently, according to some reported articles, there are text messages from Deshaun Watson where he's apologizing for exposing, his private parts. And so, that kind of stuff just doesn't look good. It's not a criminal case. It's a civil case. We get that. We heard what he had to say about a lawyer trying to essentially extort money from him in order to get him to settle. And when he refused to do so, that's how this came about. Even though it wouldn't look good, however, it would be one thing if it were one case. It's another thing right now where the number is at three. There is some speculation from the lawyer that he has more than the three, but we know of at least three. And the very last one that came in this morning, Molly, when you had broached the subject with us, that involved, him forcing somebody to perform a sexual act. So now it gets even much more serious. When you consider that and the timing that comes with it, even though it would raise an eyebrow upon initially hearing about this stuff, because obviously you're hearing that he wants out of Houston, you're wondering what's up with the Texans organization, and then, in some people's eyes, conveniently, then the first allegation came out. All of that gets thrown to the wayside once it becomes multiple allegations, because then now you're saying, okay, they're saying there's a pattern here. It's not some isolated incident. This has gotten very serious. And so now, if you're Deshaun Watson, suddenly the priority of getting out of Houston, now you got to worry about something else. And if you're another NFL team, you may be hesitant to touch him. If you're the Houston Texans, you suddenly regain the power. You can elect to move on from him, even though you wouldn't get the level of compensation you were looking for, or you could hold on to him, and there's not much he could say about it right now because of his situation. Then we also got to remember this is the National Football League. You don't need to be guilty of a criminal charge. You don't need to settle and be guilty or come across as guilty in a civil situation. According to the National Football League, anything that impugns or sullies the National Football League shield gives them the right to exact discipline upon you, which means that would be coming down the pike for Deshaun Watson as well. It is not a good-looking situation for him by any stretch.
This is a difficult subject because, on the one hand, there's a presumption of innocence and knowledge that athletes, famous and rich athletes, can be targets for baseless claims in order to get settlements. That happens. And on the other hand, I think we are all much more aware nowadays than we were culturally kind of aware years ago, how often accusers are not believed when they in fact turn out to indeed have been victims. And so you want to be careful to respect the process and let the facts come out. A civil case, the standard of proof is lower. The burden of proof is lower, because nothing is more important, including money, than one's freedom. And so when Deshaun Watson claims that he was approached initially for a settlement and chose not to because he wants to clear his name, I think it's human nature to think, he obviously feels he didn't do something. But on the other hand, it's possible also that he may feel that if he settles, then he has to settle with a whole bunch of people. You think if it's one person accusing, there's a presumption of innocence, and you want to wait till the facts come out. And while you still do, the more people who accuse, the more you think, well, boy, these details sound similar. It's human nature also to think that's not just one person or even two people. Now it's three people. Of course, you hear it's all with the same attorney. So there's a lot of kind of speculation because people want to know what to think and how to feel about it, especially when it comes to a guy like Deshaun Watson, who I was using as an example why the Texans look bad right now, for example, if he wants out of there because he has such an immaculate reputation, both on and off the field of play. But just because you feel like you may know someone, a public figure, and feel like you like them and you don't want something to be true doesn't necessarily make that the case. You have to wait for the facts to come out. And that's where we are with it now, Damian.
Yeah, listen, this is all deeply disturbing, and you guys touched on a lot of the issues at hand. And the fact that, you know, you're a third victim, alleged victim, has come forward is making this thing a little bit more complicated. There's no question about that. I think a couple of distinctions come to my mind. Number one, Stephen A. alluded to, this is a civil situation, not a criminal. I think that's a very, you know, that's a big distinction that we got to bring up right now. That's number one. And number two, you know, as much as we talk about or praise Deshaun Watson off the field, we do the same thing off the field. Much we praise him on the field, we do the same thing with Deshaun Watson off the field. His character up to this point has been impeccable. There's no question about it. We've talked about all the things that he's done off the field, charitable work and all those type of things. And so for me, I feel like I'm not going to sit here without all the facts being presented that I'm going to indict him in the court of public opinion. Because what we do a lot of times is we rush to judgment as a society instead of letting all parties have their due process and let the process play itself out. The only thing we have in this world is our last name. That's the only thing. You can talk about the passing yards, the touchdowns, all of those things, but at the end of the day, all we're left with is our last name. And so for me, I want to give Deshaun Watson the opportunity to defend his last name against these very disturbing allegations that are being presented to him right now.
Damian, let me respond to that. I don't disagree with you, and I love the fact that you brought up his character. I've met Deshaun Watson a few times. I love the guy. Obviously, you know that I have a pretty good relationship with his college coach, Dabo Sweeney, who raves about him, not just about him as a player, but him as a man. Speak to DeAndre Hopkins, speak to any of his teammates, his friends or whatever, the first thing they'll bring up is his character, more so than his game. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, Damian Woody is right, totally, and I'm with you. Here's where it gets a bit suspicious, and I'm not talking, let's look at this from a macro, let's detach ourselves from meeting him, seeing him, knowing a few people who know him, and wanting to believe the very best of him. Let's detach ourselves from that for a second here and ask ourselves this question. When he wanted to depart from Houston, even when Russell Wilson had suggestions about it or alluded to wanting to be out of Seattle, he was talking to Dan Patrick, if I remember correctly. We haven't found Deshaun Watson. We haven't seen him. I'm talking about football. Talking about wanting to be out of Houston.
Right.
We haven't heard from him. And there have been a couple of times where we've been on TV saying, where is he? Why is everybody else talking but not him? The reason I bring something like that up is because while we all acknowledge the wisdom that comes associated with being silent sometimes, shutting the hell up, letting your publicist or some PR person or your agent speak as opposed to you, you do look at him and say, where have you been?
Well, he did put out a statement about this.
Yeah, I know that. No, I'm saying I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about before. I'm talking about the football stuff, Max. I'm talking about wanting to be traded from Houston. We said, where are you about wanting to be out of Houston? So now you're going to have those cynics who ain't Damian Woody, who ain't Max Kellerman, who ain't Stephen A. Smith, that's going to say, is this why he wants out of Houston? Because we don't know.
Well, except in today's world, leaving a market wouldn't stop charges from being.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that, again, you know that, I know that. But the average layman out there who's quick to judge, the cancer culture, guilty until proven innocent, that kind of stuff. I'm saying you're going to have people that have said that are going to say, is this why he wanted out of Houston? Is this why we haven't seen him? Is this wasn't what was being told? You're going to have that, and that's unfortunate. Go ahead, Damian.
Yeah, listen, Steve Nate, just quickly for me, I think where we are right now, people are going to be in their own lanes. There's going to be people that's going to side with, oh, you know, I'm ready to, you know, let's cancel Deshaun Watson. There's going to be people on the other side. I'm simply saying we need to let this process play itself out right now because I think it would be in the best interest of everyone involved.
100%, and that's what we'll continue to do, keep everyone at home up to speed as the details continue to unfold here on ESPN, and I'm sure we'll be covering this again tomorrow as more details come out. Damian, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Have a fabulous day, and gentlemen, we're going to keep it rolling and get into some NBA here, shall we? Let's do it. So Giannis and the Bucks were gifted another weapon yesterday by acquiring P.J. Tucker from the Houston Rockets. According to Second Spectrum, Tucker has made 372 corner threes over the last five seasons, by far the most in the NBA during that span. Now, the Bucks are currently the 3 seed in the East behind Philly and Brooklyn, but they have won 9 of their last 10 and are in striking distance of the Nets for the 2 seed. Max Kellerman, you are up first here. Coming off this trade, how much pressure is on Giannis and the Bucks to win the East? And Kendrick Perkins, there he is. There we are. What's going on, Perk? Good to see you, too, and glad to have you with us for this debate. Yeah, all good here. All good. Trying to keep our head up with all this craziness. Max, let me just repeat the question one more time. So, coming off the trade, how much pressure is on Giannis and the Bucks to win the East?
Well, are you ready for this? I think the pressure is actually on everyone else. I think the pressure is on the Bucks organization. They want to keep Giannis. Oh, he just signed an extension. Don't tell me that. Superstars can choose where they go after they sign their max extension. Look at James Harden. It just happened. It just happened. Anthony Davis forced his way out. James Harden forced his way out. If eventually Giannis gets fed up, he can force his way out. That's number one. Number two, in a league where you don't have other super teams, and by super teams, let me be very clear, I mean one MVP player linking up with another MVP caliber player, and then, God forbid, you have another all-star plus type player like the Nets do. In a league like that, if you are the only MVP caliber player on your team, there's no one else on your level, particularly if you're a big, the history of the league says you're not going to win. Kareem didn't do it, just didn't do it. Shaq didn't do it. Even Penny wasn't enough. He needed a prime Kobe and then a prime Dwayne Wade. Kareem needed a prime Oscar Robertson and then a prime Magic Johnson. They never won a championship without that. Guys on their level who weren't bigs. Other MVP caliber players. Hakeem won one without that because Jordan won in the league that year. So he played another big without that. Patrick Ewing, and he looked a little bit better, right? Had a little bit of better team. Barely won in 7 games. No, great bigs especially, but really any great player needs another superstar player to win in a league where other teams like that exist. What other teams? Well, the Lakers, LeBron and AD, the Nets, KD and Harden. And Kyrie. No, P.J. Tucker's a very good player, and he's a nice complimentary piece. Chris Middleton's a good two-way guard and sometimes an all-star. Love me some Drew Holiday. None of those dudes is, say, a Bradley Beal. And even Bradley Beal is not quite what I'm talking about, if I'm being honest. It's not James Harden, for example, who KD and Kyrie now have. And because of that, the pressure is not on Giannis to get out of the East like it's on KD and the Nets, like it's on LeBron and AD and the Lakers.
First of all, a couple of things. Number one, I don't want to hear about pressure with LeBron and AD. They're the reigning defending NBA champions. They answered the call. He delivered a chip back to Southern California, the purple and gold Los Angeles. It would be nice for him to win again, but and the expectation is for them to be in the mix. But the bottom line is there's no pressure. LeBron and AD answered that call. I wouldn't say zero pressure, but there's really minimal pressure. They answered. Well, I'm saying the Lakers are the Lakers fans because they got 17 and spoiled. But the point is that the bottom line is they've already won. They delivered a chip. Okay. As it pertains to Milwaukee, I think P.J. Tucker is an upgrade. I think he's smart. I think he's tough. I think his ability to defend along with Jrue Holiday and Giannis makes them incredibly formidable. And while I would not say that they're under more pressure than Brooklyn, they're definitely under immense pressure. As an aside, I just want to throw this to you, KP, Kendrick Perkins. I got something else on my mind to you and Max. And I just want to say this, and this has nothing to do with the question whatsoever. But it's on my mind. It's on my heart. I got to say this. I'm incredibly sad and depressed for Steven Silas. You wait 20 years as an assistant coach to become a head coach.
Yeah.
You're 11 and 10 at the time when even after James Harden leaves, because James Harden didn't come in and Shamey wanted to be out and what have you, okay? And you have lost 18 straight. There's no Harden. Christian Wood's been out. DeMarcus Cousins gone. Victor Oladipo, he wants to be gone. P.J. Tucker is now gone. And it just, and listen, Steve Nash is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's doing a damn good job in Brooklyn. I wish him nothing but the best. But I don't know about the rest of y'all. It just saddens me that the man never coached on any level, and you inherit Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie with James Harden soon to join. But Steven Silas, everybody's gone. He's got nothing to work with. And what we're going to see now is an 18-game losing streak.
Not
and
his
counting.
Fault. Not his fault.
It's not his fault. It just saddens me. I just wanted to say that, KP. Go ahead, man.
Well, to your point, Steven, it's been happening for a while now. If you look at the situation, and I'm going to get on the Giannis topic in a second, but even if you look at the situation with Golden State and our brother Mark Jackson, who helped build that foundation and that culture, and then all of a sudden he loses his job, and Steve Kerr walks right on into a gold mine and takes over, now all of a sudden he's the hero, okay? Look at the situation with Toronto and when Dwayne Casey was fired. For not being able, after winning Coach of the Year, by the way, was
and
fired 59 and let
games.
Go.
Yeah.
Because he could not get past LeBron James, which I don't care who was coaching that Toronto Raptor team at the time, they wouldn't have got past LeBron James. Fire him, LeBron James goes to the Western Conference. All of a sudden, Nick Nurse, and I'm not discrediting Nick Nurse, but I'm just telling you the cycle that's what's going on right now. All of a sudden, Nick Nurse take over the Raptors. They trade for Kawhi. All of a sudden, Nick Nurse is the best thing since sliced bread. It's a cycle that's going on. We're watching it. We're watching the African, on another standpoint, you're watching the African-American brothers come in and establish this culture, this identity, and they're not being able to reap the benefits when it's all said and done. Now to Max, to your topic about Giannis. Every single time I get on here, you are always giving him a cop-out. Always. It's only three people in the history of the NBA that has won the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year award in the same year. Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Giannis. And you're going to sit up here and tell me that the pressure is on the organization and not Giannis? Yeah. When the organization has done everything to build, to upgrade the roster and put pieces around them. By the way, Chris Middleton is having one of his best seasons, although he didn't make the All-Star team. He's shooting, 90? He's in the 90-40-50 club. He's been has been great this season. Jrue Holiday, we know he's one of the most underrated players in the game today. And then you add a Rough Rider and P.J. Tucker, a guy that's going to come in and give them swagger. I'm going to call him the heart and soul of the team, a leader. Not only is he going to knock down corner threes, but he's going to get you extra possessions. He can switch one through five. He can establish that killer into that roster. And when you're walking into the gym, you got P.J. Tucker as your leader, and you're not afraid of anyone. But you're letting Giannis off the hook. No, the pressure is on Giannis.
Hold on. Time out, Perk.
He has more than enough.
Let's talk about Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and later Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. He had another Hall of Famer in his prime with him and he won championships. Hakeem didn't the first championship because Jordan was out of the league. He was playing Patrick Ewing, another big, hold up, without another MVP caliber player with him.
He still delivered, man.
And then, by the skin of his teeth in a league without Jordan, the following year he got Clyde Drexler. So time, like, let's be honest about this. Drew Holiday is an excellent player. Love P.J. Tucker. Chris Middleton is an all-star. I'm saying the history of the NBA is bigs need another MVP-type player with them. You got Brooklyn. You know why you got Brooklyn? You got Brooklyn because they got KD and Harden and Kyrie. Who does Giannis have like Harden or Kyrie? If you swapped KD and put him on the Bucks and put Giannis on Brooklyn, you'd still have Brooklyn.
Well, first of all, don't put words in my mouth because I don't have Brooklyn. I have Philly. And I've been saying that. I have Philly coming out of the East. Second of all, all this talk about Giannis and his PER and the best thing since Wilt Chamberlain and his numbers are up there and all this, I don't want to hear. He has more than enough to get out of the Eastern Conference. And you are the two-time reigning MVP. I tell you one thing, if you switch LeBron James and Giannis, when LeBron James was in Cleveland, and you give LeBron the same supporting cast that Giannis has right now, it would be no excuses. And LeBron expectations would be he would have to make it out of the Eastern Conference with this same lineup that Giannis is working with.
Who
so
on this team?
The pressure is on Giannis, Max.
Who on this team? LeBron, when he's won championships, let me just tell you his second best. Forget about his third best teammate, Chris Bosh or Kevin Love. His second best teammate when he's won his championships has been Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, and Anthony Davis. That Chris Middleton's a nice player. So is Drew Holiday. Neither one of those dudes is like the dudes that I just mentioned. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, but Max, the question, but Stephen A., real quick. The question isn't, is the pressure on Giannis to win a championship? The question that Molly asks is the pressure on Giannis to make it out of the East.
You don't have Brooklyn because you don't trust KD's injury right now. Be honest.
The point is this, Max. You don't necessarily need that other superstar as your sidekick to win a conference or to even win a championship. Although the examples are rare, there have been times where people have been devoid of that and they've won championships. And the reality is that when you look at Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, I love what he had available to him. I love the Robert Orries, the Kenny Smiths of the world. Hell, he had Otis Thorpe, for crying out loud, and a few others. But Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon was that dude. And when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, Drew Holiday is no scrub. Middleton is no scrub. PJ, these are better than good players, not to mention the fact they're formidable defensively. They're formidable defensively. They're formidable rebounding, okay? They can hit perimeter shots. If your superstar plays like a superstar,
in the absence,
you can beat anybody.
In the absence,
so that's
I would
the whole
agree
point.
With you
so then you
got to
look
exist.
At Giannis and hold him accountable.
If the Nets didn't exist, I would agree with
Max,
you.
Max, but
in the absence of a Kyrie, KD, Harden
Max,
team,
sure. But Max, we're looking at KD because we all know that Harden and Kyrie alone with the rest of the crew ain't going to the finals. They need KD to be there. Whereas if KD was there without one of them, they'd still go to the finals. But this is how we feel about KD, except you've questioned whether KD's the best in the world. You questioned whether he was better than Giannis. We sat on this show and you thought Giannis was better than KD.
And I had to educate
you about that. No. You didn't see. Listen, it wasn't even with KD because KD was injured at the time.
Yeah,
and Giannis went from one to five in 4 days.
What Giannis showed
in 4 days
was that he was much more of a big than I
in
realized.
In two games in four days.
I thought he would play more like a wing. He played more like a big.
Well, you watched the game.
Every big. Well, because he was initiating the offense.
Hold on, Max.
Every big needs another dude as good as him.
Don't cower away from my point. You said it during the Eastern Conference Finals. finals. So my point is, there was a first round, there was a second round, and there was 82 games that preceded that.
And then over
two games. Yeah. I don't mind you adjusting your opinion, but it is quite
much. Four straight.
No. I know they won four straight, man. I'm talking about when you made your statement. No, it wasn't after they lost. You made a statement on a Thursday. They played two games, and in that two-game span from Thursday to Monday, you went from 1-5.
That's right.
And you had him worse than – you had him better than KD.
That's right, because very little separates the very, very best.
You think very little separates KD from Giannis?
Wait a minute. I need to see them when it matters most. KD's skill set's obviously more complete on offense than Giannis. If he's really? Healthy – if he, but he has James Harden and Kyrie Irving.
Max, I have a confession to make. You know, I need glasses, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a struggle for me to read a little bit. I mean, without my glasses, I'll be first to admit that. Those Beetlejuice eyes are yours. You don't need no glasses, Max. You don't need glasses. You're perfectly fine. Are you trying to tell me that you needed those two games to see that Giannis wasn't KD?
No, it's
you needed
not
that?
Being KD. You're changing the subject. You're totally changing it. It's not about not being KD. Giannis can be expected to get out of the conference without an MVP-type player with him if it didn't exist in his same conference. But KD got Harden and Kyrie. That's not hard to understand.
Okay.
Now, the Sixers, by the way, Perk, I like the Sixers a lot if Embiid is healthy, but Simmons is not just a regular player, let's be honest, and they're well-constructed.
Go ahead, Kendrick.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, everything I say, Max is going to give Giannis a cop-out. He's supposed to be the best player in the world. Back-to-back MVPs. And you know what's crazy to me, Max?
I got something else we can do.
Oh, my bad, Molly. I wanted to say this.
No, if you want to go, you can. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when we was having this discussion about James Harden, right, when he was in Houston, and you was telling me James Harden wasn't stepping up to the plate and the pressure was on him when he had to get past the Golden State Warriors, when he was in the MVP conversation, leading the league in scoring, when he was winning the MVPs. You were putting pressure on James Harden.
He
you
had
were putting
Chris
pressure on James
Paul
Harden,
and then Russell
and he
Westbrook
had a Dwight Howard. He had an agent, Chris Paul. And now you sitting up here telling me that Giannis is not under pressure for the Bucks
give Giannis,
to win
Chris
to come
Paul.
Out of the league?
Giannis has never played with a player as good as Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook. Come on, let's be honest about it.
I'm preoccupied. Okay,
cool. Guys, hey, LaMelo, Molly, LeBron Molly. Tonight. Stephen A., can I ask you? Yeah, go.
Your glasses, they were rocking. You should put those back on. I like them.
Thank you.
I like them.
I actually need them to see, too. I've been wearing them since the third grade. Tell me this. You think LaMelo's going to give it to LeBron? I know we only have like 10 seconds left.
No, I think LeBron is going to give it to LaMelo.
LeBron is going to give Melo that work tonight.
Give him the business.
LeBron is better than LaMelo at basketball. And they're playing.
It's not about him against Melo. I'm talking about what he's going to do to that team because of Melo.
Nah, he's going to do it to him. Anyway.
MJ's watching,
he's
LeBron.
Gonna do it to him anyway.
MJ's watching. What you going to do? What you going to do?
All right. Guess what I'm going to do? See you all tomorrow, 10 a.m. Bye.